I was making radio shows for fun. If everybody does it. Everybody I know does.
Hey, I can't find that on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
All systems go, Michael.
Oh, God, here we go again. Dork alert.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
I will win the crowd. I will give them something they've never seen before.
You tell them I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Ladies and gentlemen, HamRadio.com is proud to present from our studios, high atop North Broad Street here in beautiful Philadelphia, this is The Proof of Concept. And here's your host, the one, the only, Mike Cunningham! Hello, everybody. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Proof of Concept. I know it's been a while since the last time we talked, but it's about that time. It's October. There's a chill in the air. It's a Friday. So what better than to have a podcast right here in the morning before Game 2 of the National League Division Series, Philadelphia Phillies against the Cincinnati Reds. You'd think we would have talked about the Phillies 2 days ago and previewed the Phillies-Red series a couple of days ago. Well, we did, actually. If you have skills on the internet, you might be able to find a video podcast of yours truly, Mike Cunningham, doing a brief beta test of Ustream's technology, because we intend, at least we have a lot of intentions here, but we intend to bring back the Proof of Concept in full force. Maybe once a week, every Friday. How's that sound? Every Friday we would do a podcast. Maybe? I don't know. We'll see. We have a few things to talk about. We are going to be talking about the Phillies and, of course, what occurred on Wednesday night, which in some estimations might be the greatest Philadelphia sports moment. Certainly maybe the greatest individual sports achievement by any Philadelphia athlete. We'll talk about that. Also, earlier in the week, on Sunday, we had a big football game. Eagles, Redskins, Vic, McNabb, Cobb. We'll talk about that. Also, there's a street very close to yours truly that's considered one of the most dangerous streets in America, in dangerous neighborhoods, and Proof of Concept is recorded very close to that area, and we'll talk about why nothing ever good happens on 13th Street. We'll take a look around the world of sports. We're not at all a sports podcast, but just today we just have a lot of things going on in the sports world that we will talk about. We'll get to the birthdays as well in the news. And have you heard about the SunChips bag? It's a big controversy out there. People wouldn't think that a potato chip bag or a, yeah, we'll call them potato chips, a potato chip bag would cause such controversy, but who knows? But we will be talking about that and a bunch more. Let's get to what's on everybody's mind. Doc Holliday. Roy Halladay on Wednesday night did something that no other Philly has done and no major league pitcher has done since 1956. In 54 years, I think, I don't know, I'm not really good with the math. In 54 years, no other pitcher has pitched a 9-inning complete game no-hitter. Now, the difference? One walk. Don Larson in 1956 for the New York Yankees pitched a perfect game. It's one of those legendary moments. It's one of those moments that is, you know, the pinnacle of greatness. Now, it wasn't a Game 7. I think a Game 7 perfect game would probably be better. But a Game 1 no-hitter in the NLDS? I mean, on the ranking of scale of things, I mean, I'm sure you can improve upon it, and I think Roy Halladay will do everything in his possibility to do that. Now, me personally, I didn't see it at the ballpark. The first time since the Phillies have been back in the playoffs, since 2007, I've had tickets to Game 1 of the NLDS every year. The first year, the Rockies took care of us on their way to sweeping us. Then the next year, we had the Brewers, and then last year, the Rockies again. Not sure why. I don't remember. It all kind of blends together as the years go by. Yes, last year, the Phillies beat the Colorado Rockies on their way to another trip to the World Series. Now, what is the significance of a no-hitter in the NLDS? Well, one thing, in a five-game series, winning the first game is paramount. In the last 12 division series, the winner of Game 1 went on to win the entire series. And there's always this discussions about how in a five-game series, anything can really happen. In a seven-game series, the best team will usually win out. But in a five-game series, you can just get hot and win those games. Those are up to debate, I'm sure. But the Phillies, of course, winning Game 1 in the last 2 years, went on to win the series. And, of course, they lost in 2007 and lost the series. So it really does make sense now. So that's just that. And maybe this no-hitter doesn't mean anything to anything for the year. My one buddy, Kevin, sent me a text and says, doesn't mean anything if we don't win the World Series. I don't know if that is really true, because the moment, that pitching performance is embedded in our DNA. This isn't like 4th-and-26 against the Green Bay Packers, which was a phenomenal play that got us into the NFC Championship, but we didn't win the Super Bowl. Because we didn't win the Super Bowl, it doesn't mean anything. But I think in this case, because this is one of those once-in-every-54-year type of situations, it's got to mean something, right? It's got to be something significant. Mike Schmidt, yes, Phillies legend Mike Schmidt, went on the Mike and Mike show this week on ESPN, and he said it was the greatest moment in Philadelphia sports history. Now, I think he might have been speaking out of turn slightly, because he might have forgotten his moment in what I consider the greatest moment in Philadelphia sports history, which was when the Phillies won, finally, after 97 years in existence, the World Championship of Baseball. That was pretty significant. That was a pretty significant moment in Philadelphia sports history. But if you want to talk about an individual achievement, certainly, few others come to mind. Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, that's a record that probably will never be broken. But it didn't have the significance. It didn't have the stage that this one did. So, I think this one will rank up there for a very, very long time. Certainly, in this moment. I was rushing to get home. As I said, I didn't have tickets for the game. And I timed my arrival home perfectly. I took off my coat. For some reason, I didn't want to miss the first pitch. You know, I've been to a lot of games this year. Seen a lot of baseball in the last four seasons and more. And sometimes you get tired. And October can get, you know, physically demanding of you. You can get exhausted from watching all these baseball games. But I wanted to see Roy Halladay's first pitch. I flick on the TV, switch to the TBS station, which for whatever reason, my Comcast cable doesn't have the HD version. And I see the first pitch, which is a strike to Brandon Phillips. And there was something about that pitch that I knew Halladay was going to be all right. And as the game wore on, he was not letting any base runners. And the movement on his pitches were phenomenal. The looks on the faces of the Reds were just of this confusion. What was this guy doing? And the crowd, the Phillies crowd, was incredible. Finally, when Halladay walked Jay Bruce, the tightness in my stomach, which had just arrived in that inning where I said, you know what? No hitter is possible, kind of released a little bit. And I sent a text to my dad. I said, boy, thank God the perfect game's out of the way. Now I can just settle in. Forgetting for the moment that the no-hitter was still in play. And as each inning went, and as each out went by, the knot in the stomach got tighter and tighter. And I was thinking to myself, we're up four. They're not going to score four runs against Roy Halladay. I should relax, because the win's more important, right? No. Not at that moment. Not in the ninth inning. Not when the entire 46,000 fans in the stadium know something special is about to happen. One out goes by. Pop up to Chase Utley. Another out goes by. A foul out to Wilson Valdez, filling in for Placido Blanco. And then it's Doc Halladay and Brandon Phillips, the guy who started off the game. It's kind of a special moment. We probably should listen in.
Two outs, ninth inning. Halladay one out away from a no-hitter. Brandon Phillips, the batter, he takes a fastball for a strike over the outside corner. Worth shallow and right. Victorino also shallow in center and shaded to right center field. Valdez a few steps closer to the line against Brandon Phillips. 0-1 the count. Halladay quickly back into the set position with a glove in front of his chest. Waiting on the sign from Ruiz. Here's the windup in the 0-1. Swing and a miss. 0-2, he is a strike away. Just about a quarter to eight, October the 6th, 2010, the first postseason game for Roy Halladay. He winds the 0-2, swing and a dribbler out in front of the plate. Ruiz out to get it, the throw from his knees, it's in time, and it's a no-hitter. Unbelievable. Ruiz and Halladay embrace, and the Phillies again celebrate around Roy Halladay. 4-0, it's the second no-hitter in Major League postseason history here tonight at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies dugout empties as they celebrate another brilliant performance from Roy Halladay. The fireworks are going.
It's just unbelievable what he did tonight. The best hitting team in the National League, the Triple Crown winner for a team, and he just shut them down. There was the hardest ball hit was Travis Wood, their second pitcher. and he just flat dominated.
That ball that chopped out in front of the plate momentarily banged against the bat that was dropped by Brandon Phillips. There was a brief hesitation by Carlos Ruiz, who picked it up, dropping to his knees and throwing the first in time to get Phillips. Immediately, Ruiz up off his knees, embracing with Halliday. They combined to work a perfect game earlier this season.
Wait, I just saw Halliday smile.
And I think it's the first time he's done that since May the 29th.
You are listening to The Proof of Concept, starring Mike Cunningham, right here on HamRadio.com.
Hey, this is Mike Cunningham trying out our brand new phone number. It's 267-828-0112. I'm listening to hamradio.com's Proof of Concept in the car. How about that? Do you listen to hamradio.com in the car? That's when I do it. Sometimes I listen to it at home. Sometimes I listen to it in bed when I'm naked and all cuddling up under the covers. How do you listen to hamradio.com's Proof of Concept? Well, call us at 267-828-0112.
Take the hamradio.com shopping experience. T-shirts for men and women, hats, beer mugs, a wall clock, and much, much more. Go to hamradio.com, click on Ham Shop, and start buying today. This is hamradio.com. You are listening to the Proof of Concept. Now back to our host, Mike Cunningham.
All right, folks, it's time for the news. Imprisoned Chinese democracy campaigner Liu Xiaobo on Friday won the Nobel Peace Prize, an award that immediately inspired China's political dissidents and drew furious condemnation from the government. Chinese state media blacked out the news, and Chinese government censors blocked Nobel Prize reports, which highlighted Liu's call for peaceful political change from internet websites. China declared the decision would harm its relations with Norway, and the Nordic country responded that it was a petty thing for a world power to do. A North Korean official confirmed Friday to broadcaster APTN that Kim Jong-il's youngest son will succeed him as the next leader of the reclusive communist nation. In the first public confirmation of a succession plan, Yang Hyeong-sop, a top official in North Korea's ruling party, referred to Kim Jong-un, that's right, as the young general during an exclusive interview with APTN. Yang, who was asked about last week's landmark Workers' Party convention and the significance of Kim Jong-un's promotion to four-star general, said the nation's people were honored to serve him as their leader. A wave of government layoffs in September outpaced weak hiring in the private sector, pushing down the nation's payrolls by a net total of 95,000 jobs. The unemployment rate held at 9.6% last month, the Labor Department said on Friday. The jobless rate has now topped 9.5% for 14 straight months, the longest stretch since the Depression. This is, of course, the final report before the November elections. Shares of Adobe soared in heavy trading yesterday on a report that Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer discussed a possible buyout of the company. A report posted in the Bits blog of New York Times said Ballmer recently met with Adobe CEO Shantanu Narayen to talk about Apple's control of the cell phone market and how Microsoft and Adobe could work together to fend off the iPhone maker. Of course, you all know that Apple does not allow Adobe Flash on its iPhone device. And I guess Microsoft has the power, maybe, they say, to combat that? I don't know. Well, speaking of technology, it seems that we are so entwined with technology that a study done with college students, they say they're often frantic lives that they've become more frazzled about the technology. An AP MTV U poll released Thursday found that being perpetually connected comes at a cost. While 50% of students said life without computers and cell phones would make them more stressed, a significant number, 25%, said it would be a relief. A big majority feel pressure to instantly answer texts or voicemails, and most get nervous if someone doesn't immediately reply to a message, and nearly half worry whether their messages even were received. In entertainment news, ex-CNN host Rich Sanchez says he screwed up.
That's right. He said he was wrong, and he screwed up on ABC's Good Morning America this week after being fired from his hosting job at CNN. He apologized for his slams at the network and, of course, at Comedy Central's Jon Stewart, whom he called a bigot. His explanation? Sanchez said he was tired when he made the radio appearance and that, quote, my daughter had a softball game I desperately wanted to go to, and I was a little impatient. You know, oddly enough, that was Hitler's excuse when he invaded Poland. go figure. Last night, the Giants showed off their pitching ace, Tim Lincecum, to hit the Braves, striking out 14 in a 1-0 win. Looks like the Giants and the Phillies may be poised for an NLCS battle. Andy Pettitte came back after missing 2 months with a groin injury, leading the Yankees to a victory, who now have a commanding 2-0 lead against the Minnesota Twins as they head back to Yankee Stadium. Also going up 2-0 on the road, the Texas Rangers with Cliff Lee starting off in game one, and then followed by C.J. Wilson. They're up 2-0, and they will head back to Texas, to Ranger Ballpark this weekend to finish it all up. It's time for Who the biggest celebrity born today. Oh, this is my favorite. It is. And we have a really, really good one. As I try to click here on the web. My computer's been acting up and it's making me more stressed. Oh, maybe that MTV study was correct. Technology does make me stressed. I can't tell you how many times I yelled and screamed at the computer today because it just wasn't acting up. No, it was acting up. I'm all confused. Anyway, you know who's born today? Matt Damon.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
I'm not.
On the bed, on the floor, on a towel by the door, in the tub, in the car, up against the mini bar.
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
While you're working night, Kimmel. I said I'm Matt Damon.
She said she's Matt Damon. Hey, Kimmel, how do you like them apples? Get it? Because I'm like talking about her breasts.
Yeah, it's funny. Hey, Jim, don't take it bad. Remember all the good times we had. Like the time we went fishing and we caught a bunch of fish. Then you puked in the bucket of fish that we caught.
Knocking at my door.
I'm
fuck who?
I'm Matt Damon.
She's Matt Damon.
Like an idiot to do your show and Regis and Kelly's show, she was definitely Matt Damon.
When I told you I was Matt Damon, I was Matt Damon. On the bed, on the floor, on the towel, by the door, in a tub, in a car, against the mini bar.
She's Matt Damon.
That's it.
was clear.
You did great.
It was okay.
Pretty damn good.
Anyway, you know, we had a great run, Jim. And I hope there's no hard feelings. I hope we can be friends. I'm friends with all my boyfriends, my old boyfriends. So if anything isn't clear or you need closure of some kind, please, please call my publicist, Amy Zvee, at BNCPS. So take care.
You know what? Stop right there. Jimmy, we're out of time. Sorry.
You are so bad.
A little bit. Let's put that guitar down and go Matt Damon.
I mean, come on. Matt Damon? It's Matt Damon's birthday today. But he's also... Is he the biggest celebrity that's born today? I don't know. Because you have... That's right. From Avatar herself... Ghostbusters, Gorillas in the Mist, Working Girl, and of course Galaxy Quest.
Forward thruster shaft, 87% damage. Aft vector guards, 96% damage. Structural breaches in quadrants 32. 34, 40,
What about the engines?
Forward thruster shaft, 87% damage.
Computer, what about the engines? Why don't we have power?
The beryllium sphere has fractured under stress.
It's fractured.
Can it be repaired?
Computer, can it be repaired?
Damage to beryllium sphere, irreparable. New source of beryllium must be secured.
We need another one.
You broke the ship. You broke the bloody ship.
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Computer, is there a replacement beryllium sphere on board?
Negative. No reserve beryllium sphere exists on board.
No, we have no extra beryllium sphere on board.
You know, that is really getting annoying.
Look, I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm going to do it, okay?
Galaxy Quest is one of the most underrated films of all time. And Sigourney Weaver's cleavage in that, also kind of a big deal. As you know, we kind of like nudity in here. But does that make her a bigger celebrity than Matt Damon? Matt Damon does have an Oscar. Weaver has Golden Globes. Ooh, it's really, really tough. I don't know. I'm going to say Matt Damon is a bigger celebrity than Sigourney Weaver. It was tough. It was really, really tough. I really wanted to do that. Now, is she a bigger celebrity than Chevy Chase?
From Saturday Night News headquarters, this is Weekend Update with Chevy Chase.
You under the covers right now? Did you shower? Good evening. I'm Chevy Chase. The top story is, of course, the good news that President Ford is over that week-long bout with that stubborn cold. White House physicians say that after a mild cold of that sort, it will take the president a few days to recover his motor skills fully, citing the period after his last cold when he tied his shoe to his hair blower and inadvertently pardoned Richard Nixon.
Now, Chevy Chase is kind of... rebuilt his whole entire career, right? With it being appearing on Community. But is he a bigger celebrity than Matt Damon? I'm going to have to say he's not. But is Matt Damon a bigger celebrity than Jesse Jackson? Now, is Jesse Jackson a celebrity? I mean, he's a activist. But is he a celebrity? Well, he did once host Saturday Night Live when he ran for president.
Tonight, rather than read from 1 and 2 Samuel, I read from Sam I Am. According to the Latter-day Saint Seuss, you do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them. Sam, I am. I could not, would not own a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark, not on a tree, not in a car. You let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham.
I mean, that's fairly brilliant, right? I mean, that's pretty brilliant. Let's see if they have this. Yeah. He also on that had a great sketch called The Point is Moot. Love that sketch, but we don't have it, and so that's not any help. But despite his appearance on Saturday Night Live, Jesse Jackson is not a bigger celebrity than Matt Damon. So today's biggest celebrity, of course, is Mr. Matt Damon. Now you know what's going on. Let's get back into the music. The Posies have a new album. It's called Blood Candy. Here's their new single featuring Kay Hanley. You might remember her from Letters to Cleo or that film 10 Things I Hate About You. She was the singer in that band that Julia Stiles really, really liked. Here is the Glitter Prize. You're listening to The Proof of Concept right here on HamRadio.com.
Daylight,
are listening to The Proof of Concept, right here on HamRadio.com.
Hey, this is Mike Cunningham trying out our brand new phone number. It's 267-828-0112. I'm listening to HamRadio.com's Proof of Concept in the car. How about that? Do you listen to HamRadio.com in the car? That's when I do it. Sometimes I listen to it at home. Sometimes I listen to it in bed when I'm naked and all cuddling up under the covers. How do you listen to HamRadio.com's Proof of Concept? Well, call us at 267-828-0112. 0112.
Take the HamRadio.com shopping experience. T-shirts for men and women, hats, beer mugs, a wall clock, and much, much more. Go to HamRadio.com, click on Ham Shop, and start buying today.
Right-hander checks the runner. Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Right center field. This one is falling. It's a base hit. It'll go up the alley. Rutland will score. Ruiz around third. He is being waved. The Phillies have won the ball game. Ruiz slides. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout.
Yeah.
Rollins falls near third. This game is over as the Phillies strike again with two outs in the ninth inning. And they have a 3-1 lead. The Phillies have beaten the Dodgers with two outs in the ninth, and they have done it to Broxton again in game four. Wow, what a finish! Jimmy Rollins has made his mark in this series.
This is HamRadio.com. You are listening to The Proof of Concept. Now back to our host, Mike Cunningham.
Nothing like hearing that Jimmy Rollins call in the NLCS by Scott Fransky to get yourself kind of up for tonight's NLDS game against the Cincinnati Reds. Roy Oswalt takes the mound against Bronson Arroyo. Yours truly, Mike Cunningham, will be in the ballpark tonight. I have a pretty good record at games at the ballpark. Well, at least in the last 2 years. Just one loss I've seen. Of course, I saw two in 07. So we have a pretty good shot of winning tonight's game. Roy Oswalt, who has just pitched fantastic for the Phillies, and over the last month or so, he's actually been the best pitcher for the Phillies. Even better than Cole Hamels, who will be starting on Sunday night. And even better than Mr. Roy Halladay, except for the last two games. Little Roy wanted to pitch last night. He wanted to get it over with, so to speak, and get back out on the mound. He said to Jimmy Rollins and the team, "You guys better give me like 27 hits and score 8 runs," because he knows those Reds will be chomping at the bit. Now, the Reds, of course, were the best team in the National League as far as the offense was concerned. The Phillies scored the second most runs in the National League despite all of those shutouts and all of that offensive funk when Rollins was out and when Utley was out and when Howard was out and when Victorino was out and when Chooch was out and when Polanco was out and who else was out? I mean, there were so many offensive players who were out this year. I think I even went on the disabled list for a couple of weeks. Bad hammy. Actually, no, not really. Actually, I had hurt my foot in playing softball earlier this year. Hurt my heel. Came in as I was stretching to reach first base, landing on my heel, hurting myself a little bit. Thought I would never be able to walk again. Actually, that's not that's not true at all. But it did really, really, really hurt. I had to put foot pads in there. That was early in the spring. I was able to make it through the summer, so everything was all right. But all during that stretch, that's when the Phillies were really struggling with their offense. But yet they finish with their second-best offense to, of course, the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the Reds will be sending out Bronson Arroyo, who does have playoff experience, of course, with the Boston Red Sox. He's been around. He knows the game. But the Phillies pretty much have handled him. He is another right-hander, and the Phillies usually beat up on right-handers. So look for big games from Chase Utley and Ryan Howard. I expect it. And they went hitless the other night. I expect big things from those two. And Raul Ibanez, we played his entrance theme, Reach for the Sky, earlier today. Let's get back into the music. So I think the Phillies are going to win, and Cole will probably close it out. Before the series, I thought that it would be a four-gamer. After the no-hitter Wednesday night, I think the Reds could be done. They could be done. Now, here's a band. They're called Florence and the Machine. Now, why am I playing them? Well, they have their big hit, Rabbit Heart, Raise It Up. That's been climbing the charts on iTunes. And it's weird when your parents say, hey, Mike, have you heard of Florence and the Machine? Yeah. Of course, I believe my mom called them Florence Henderson and the Machine, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, this is a pretty good song. Rabbit Heart here on the Proof of Concept. It is number 154 if you're playing along at home. You have those picture pages, don't you? Open them up. We have all sorts of activities that we will get to later. You know the phone number. It's 267-828-0112. And, of course, email us at proofofconcept@hamradio.com. When we start to do these Ustream podcasts live, we may be able to take live phone calls. That will be a lot of fun, and we will have guests. Friday podcasts from here on out, all through the playoffs and maybe into the new year. We're going to be talking up the Eagles a little bit later and some of the other stuff that we talked about. Don't forget about those Sunship bags. We're going to be doing a live investigation of the Sunship bag controversy right here on the podcast. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah. If you listen, man, whoa.
Do you know what you're listening to? Do you know what you're listening to right now? You are listening to The Proof of Concept, starring Mike Cunningham, right here on HamRadio.com.
We're back here on The Proof of Concept. What a good song that is. That just is one of those really electrifying songs. The Eagles had a big game this past week, and of course it was against their NFC East rivals, the Washington Redskins, led by former Philadelphia Eagle quarterback Donovan McNabb. Of course, they have a new coach there as well, former coach of the Denver Broncos, Mike Shanahan, who brought his revamped team into Philadelphia. All the speculation before the game wasn't about what was going to happen on the field. It was what was going to happen in the stands. How would the Philadelphia fans treat Donovan McNabb? And of course, they gave him a huge, huge standing ovation. All of the pundits said, nah, there's no way the Philly fans would treat McNabb that way. And of course, they was wrong. Of course, they was wrong. Who is this guy? He hasn't done a podcast in 4 months, and this is the way he begins to talk? Good God. Anyway, Donovan McNabb stepped onto the field and got a huge, huge ovation and credit the Philadelphia Eagles for announcing their defense first so that Donovan would be the last person announced on the field. That's a class move by the gold standard, the Philadelphia Eagles. They get a bad rap here in this town. That was a pretty classy move. And a classy move as well from the Philadelphia Eagles fans, who had spent the first 10 announcements of the Redskins saying suck after their name, finishing with Donovan McNabb and giving a huge, huge ovation. Class move, again, by the Philadelphia fans. We don't get enough credit here in this town. We know our sports, and we give our former heroes the business they deserved. There was talk this week whether or not Scott Rolen would get the Donovan McNabb treatment. Would we forgive what Scott Rolen had said? I don't think so. That guy turned his back on the Philadelphia fans and left, and he demanded to be traded. Donovan didn't want to go anywhere. He wanted to finish his career right here in Philadelphia. Now, from here on in, then you bill him. And, in fact, the Philadelphia fans did that. When he took the field to lead his offense, that's when the boos arrived. And that's why Philadelphia fans are the best. You don't get any more cheers until you come back and they retire a number right there in the center of Lincoln Financial Field. Now, let's get to the game. Now, well, I was about to say, you've been hearing me talk for weeks about how terrible I think this Philadelphia Eagles team is. And if I was actually having podcasts every Friday, you would hear that. Well, the Eagles aren't very good. It doesn't matter if Michael Vick is leading them or Kevin Cobb. I don't think they're very good. Mostly because the defense is terrible. They're just awful. They're just, even though they only gave up 3 points to the Jacksonville Jaguars 2 weeks ago, they're terrible. They're just, there's nothing. They're not getting much pressure. The linebackers aren't very good except for Stuart Bradley, and he had an awful game this week against the Redskins. And the defensive backs are a little bit weak. Asante Samuel, of course, who has more no-hit games than any other Philadelphia athlete, that except for Roy Halladay. But Nate Allen, who has been getting interceptions in nearly every game this season, 3 interceptions on the year and a sack. Only one week where he didn't get an interception, he had a sack. Well, let's go back over the Redskins game. Michael Vick started off, and he was phenomenal. 5 of 7 for 49 yards, leading the team down for a score. Right, trying to dive in for a touchdown, which got called back for holding. He got crushed, got sandwiched by two Redskins defenders, and then had another Redskin defender fall on top of him. He had to leave the game with a rib cartilage injury. In comes Kevin Cobb in his first action since the concussion, where he lost his starting job, and he fared okay. He went 22 of 35 for 201 yards, threw a pick, however, and a touchdown pass. The big guy, though, on the day was LeSean McCoy. He had 12 receptions for 110 yards out of the backfield, including a 31-yard catch, and rushed for another 64 yards. So he was looking a little bit like Brian Westbrook. So he might be the only thing that the Eagles got going for them this weekend. Now, what was Donovan McNabb doing on his side of the ball? Well, he went something like 6 for 7 or 6 for 8 in the first half, leading the Redskins to 17 points in the first half, and that's pretty much all they needed. Also, they got some help by Ryan Terrain, who had 70 yards on 18 rushes. Clinton Portis got hurt in the game. Donovan McNabb also added 39 yards on the ground himself, which really helped them win. But in the second half, they didn't do anything. Now, was it the defense stopping him, or was it Donovan himself who went 2 for 11? That's what Donovan can do. He gets you, he manages the game where he gets you the points that you need to win, and once he sees that the defense is kind of on board, he doesn't need to get you anything more. So Donovan wins. He's beaten the Cowboys and the Eagles. 2-0 in the NFC East, as two losses are outside of the NFC East. Is this going to be enough for him to make the playoffs? I don't know, but the NFC East is kind of bunching up, as my old soccer coach, baseball coach, Jerry Guggenheim, used to say. What's going to happen this week? Well, I don't know, as the Philadelphia Eagles will play Sunday night against the 0-4 San Francisco 49ers. That team is awful. So the Eagles have a chance with Kevin Cobb to go on for a victory, but I don't see many victories the rest of the way. So anyway, it'll be Sunday night. The Eagles, Kevin Cobb, will be leading the Eagles while the Phillies are playing on another station and maybe finishing out with Game 3. We're going to talk more about some other stuff around the world of sports. Talk about 13th Street and nothing ever good happens on it. Arcade Fire has a new album called The Suburbs. Pick it up. I highly recommend it. This song, We Used to Wait, is a nice little thing that they, if you go to Arcade Fire's website, they'll send you where you can type in an address and then this song will play, and there's this whole nice little Google Chrome video sort of thingy. Anyway, well, you don't even need that part of the video because the song is pretty actually kind of awesome.
I
return you to HamRadio.com's Proof of Concept.
So nothing ever good happens on 13th Street? Well, at least that's in my estimation. Why do I say that? Well, you know, the neighborhood across Broad Street between Green and Poplar and between Broad and around 10th or 11th Street is a not quite gentrified area just yet. It's split down the middle with Ridge Avenue, which has some homeless organizations, and it's the back door of a synagogue and some other businesses, and not a lot of quite up-to-date residential homes. There is the old Richard Allen projects that are over there that are turned into very nice homes, low-income type homes, but they're very nice if you drive up and down that around 12th and Fairmount or so, you get a picture of some really nice homes. But there is a lot of shadiness in that area, and according to WalletPop, AOL's financial site, says that you have a 1 in 9 chance over there of getting a violent crime committed against you. Who knew? It's not quite the Badlands, you know, in the old 8th in Indiana, 5th in Indiana area, not quite the area that surrounds Temple University, and or south of Graduate Hospital. Other areas that seem to be a little bit more violent, at least that's what you get from the news. But in my world, it's 13th Street up and down. Philadelphia just seems to always have some weird stuff going on it. One time, my buddy Cal Beersy and I got solicited by a dude. No, well, not solicited, but he's like, I know what you're looking for. And I think he was giving us directions to some sort of washy-washy type place. Now, way, way back in the day, a grade school buddy of mine passed away. Jimmy, he lost his virginity over at a massage parlor at 13th and Arch. I was there. Well, not in the room. But the chick was a hot blonde young MILF, think a cross between Jenny McCarthy and Ginger Lynn. And she was quite hot, at least from what I remember. And, she told Jimmy that I was cute, and she would have taken care of me. I didn't have money, I guess, and probably wouldn't have done it anyway, because at the time I was a 14-year-old goody-two-shoes, but there I was sitting there in a massage parlor in 1987. Go figure. Later on, I dated a girl for like 2 weeks, and I remember going to her apartment, who was on 13th Street in the neighborhood, and, you know, things got a little heated, so to speak, and then caught a whiff of something. Might have been that time, you know what I mean? She broke up with me a couple days later. But the worst thing that ever happened to me on 13th Street, I keep a storage unit down at U-Haul, which is right there on Washington Avenue, and they have a whole complex that goes from 11th Street to 13th Street. And on their 12th Street side, they have an entrance where that's where my storage unit is. So I put my stuff away, and the elevator was either locked up with somebody else using it, or it was broken that day. I forget which. And so I'm like, all right, well, no problem. I'll just go down the steps, and the stairwell just goes right out to 12th Street. I got turned around, and I went down the wrong stairwell. And I go down, and it's filled with dirt and pigeon poo and trash. And I get down to all the way down to the first floor, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm in the wrong side. All right, no problem. I'll just go back up to the next floor and, you know, go down to the other side. Well, I'm in a firewall, and they lock, and the door locks from the outside. Can't get in. Went up to every floor. Can't get in. I'm screwed, I think. I'm like, I get down to the first floor, and I'm like, finally the door, I get there, and I'm like, there's no way this door opens out to the outside. There's just no way. It's a fire exit. The worst, it's going to be set off an alarm of some sort, and it's going to be embarrassing. I didn't have a phone with me, so I couldn't call anybody to get me out of here. And so I risked it. I had to climb over all this, you know, dead rats and pigeons or whatever was down there, open up the door, and came out on 13th Street. But that was awful. It was just absolutely disgusting. So, as I say, nothing ever good happens on 13th Street. Just remember that. I think the Orleans might have had a, wrote a song about that at one point. That's what I remember. You know the band The Temper Trap? No? Well, you've heard their song because it seems to be in every movie now. It's like the new Salisbury Hill. Here they are with Sweet Disposition. You're listening to The Proof of Concept right here on hamradio.com. Call us on the hotline, 267-828-0112, and tell us what happened to you on 13th Street.
This is HamRadio.com. You are listening to the Proof of Concept. Now back to our host, Mike Cunningham.
You probably heard this story, but we'll just talk about it for a second there. And I don't know if how this really affects my fantasy football team, but I feel like it does. Dez Bryant received a bill for a team dinner at a Dallas steakhouse from veteran wideout Roy Williams for $54,896. Dez Bryant's salary in 2010 before signing and performance bonuses, $320,000. Why did he give him that bill? Because he weaseled out of some sort of rookie hazing ritual. You know, they make him carry, you know, veterans' equipment bags and things like that. $54,000. Dez Bryant thought it was funny. What does Charles Barkley think of the LeBron James suggestion that race was a contributing factor in the public animosity over his departure from Cleveland? It's just like watching a movie. Just when you think it couldn't get any stupider, it gets more stupid. You've heard of the Mendoza line, haven't you? Well, if somebody says, you got wood, it's not necessarily a good thing. Brandon Wood, infielder for the Angels, who had just 33 hits in 224 at-bats, became the first player since Ray Oyler in 1968 to hit under 150 in more than 200 plate appearances. We also call that the Greg Dobbs. Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. Even though the Tampa Bay Rays are about to be outed by the Texas Rangers, were the division winner in the NL East, they had to hand out 20,000 free tickets after third baseman Evan Longoria complained about the empty seats at Tropicana Field. No word on how many thunder sticks or cowbells that they had to give as well. You know who Jose Bautista is? Well, plan on him being the next guy accused of steroids. Alleged steroid user, in case the guy listens to the podcast. Well, he increased his home run total by 39 homers. Yeah. While home runs have been dropping all across Major League Baseball, something like 300 less home runs, mostly in the American League, Jose Bautista, the Blue Jays, has the largest one-season jump in big league history. Yeah, seriously. Think about it. Here's something pretty geeky. New World High score in Donkey Kong. Yeah, people still playing it. 1,064,500, achieved by a Washington teacher, Steve Wiebe, whose previous failed chase for the record, was documented in the 2000 film, The King of Kong. Now, we know that the Phillies may be facing the Reds tonight. They win. They probably will go against the winner of the Braves-Giants series, which will probably be, well, not probably, they will get the winner of the Giants-Braves series, which will probably be the San Francisco Giants, who earlier this season, how good is their pitching? They have pretty good pitching staff. They had 18 consecutive games in which the Giants held their opponents below 4 runs, the longest such streak in 93 years before they lost to the Colorado. You know, I got to start doing podcasts every week because my voice doesn't sound right. I'm not saying words properly. It's just insane. Well, we got a little bit of a buzzsaw tonight in Ohio. Well, that'll be this weekend. But tonight here in Philadelphia, Phillies are going to try to knock off those Cincinnati Reds. Here's the National with Blood Buzz Ohio. Yeah, I blew that one. You're listening to Proof of Concept right here on HamRadio.com.
take it too far. Lay my head on the hood of your car. I take it too far. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. I never thought about love when I thought about home. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. The floors are falling out from everybody I know. I'm on a glove bus. Yes, I am. I'm on a glove bus. I'm on a glove bus. God, I am. I'm on a glove bus. To Ohio in a swarm of bees. I never married, but Ohio don't remember me. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. I never thought about love when I thought about home. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. The flows are falling out from everybody I know. I'm on a love bus. Yes, I am. I'm on a love bus. I'm on a love bus. God, I am. I'm on a love
you're listening to? Do you know what you're listening to right now? You are listening to The Proof of Concept, starring Mike Cunningham, right here on hamradio.com.
Yeah, we're back here, and we're going to wrap things up. Here we have a very, very long podcast for you. I'm really, really sorry. But it's been a while since the last time we talked, so we had a lot of things to cover. And I know you've been waiting for this. You know what? We're just gonna have to probably chop this up into a bunch of different podcasts. So I know I was promising you the Sun Chips podcast, but we're just gonna have to do that some other time. Sorry. We'll do that investigation a little bit later. Now you know what's going on, folks. Please tell all your friends about The Proof of Concept. You know, I got this feeling, and it's hard to explain, but I think the Black Eyed Peas can do that for us. Tonight will be the Phillies Reds. We'll see you next week. I'm trying to keep peeking at hamradio.com and hamradio.tv to see the video podcast that we plan on bringing to you. That's right. That's what I said. Video. You'd love to see what this face is while we're doing the podcast, right? Wouldn't you? You've been listening to The Proof of Concept right here on HamRadio.com. We'll see you soon. Go Phillies.
Party every day, party every day, and I'm feeling.
have been listening to The Proof of Concept starring Mike Cunningham right here on hamradio.com. The Proof of Concept is recorded Monday through Friday and is a production of hamradio.com, a division of Cunningham Communications and Productions. Any comments, suggestions, requests, or inquiries can be made by sending an email to proofofconcept@hamradio.com. All opinions expressed within this program are solely of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of hamradio.com, its parent company, its subsidiaries, nor the affiliates of hamradio.com. Copies of this program may be distributed to anyone you like without express written consent of Major League Baseball. The Proof of Concept is not brought to you by the following: Enron, the Department of Homeland Security, Tyco, WorldCom, Arthur Anderson, Martha Stewart, Sarbanes-Oxley, Karl Rove, Fox News, Sean Hannity, Paula Abdul, The White House, the WNBA, LakesidePark.com, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, Joey Buttafuoco, O.J. Simpson, Tara Reid, Paris Hilton, U2, Jay-Z, Destiny's Child, The Beatles, The Rolling Stones, The Family Guy, South Park, The Simpsons, Jenna Jameson, Elle McPherson, Pamela Anderson, Howard Stern, Infinity Broadcasting, and Beetlejuice.